Turn our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, we'll be reading three verses there, verses 14, 15, and 16, if you'll join with me on verse number 15. If you found Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, heaven and earth, is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we have an opportunity to hear from you. As we heard the choir sing, Lord, about bowing our knee, God, I pray that you'd heal our land, as they often sing as well. Lord, we need to turn back to you. And Lord, we need you this morning. We need your Holy Spirit power be upon the service. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
If I only had one song that I could sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's a question here would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, for the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanding to know why.
But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although sweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. There's something beautiful about the cross.
Thank you, folks, for the good song this morning. I want to speak on this subject where you're looking at the next four services tonight, next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night, Lord willing. We're going to be looking at this passage in Ephesians here. We've been here before, and every once in a while I just come back to it and reading, and I think how rich it is. And you may even recognize some of these verses, but this is Paul's prayer for the Christians at Ephesians, and I want to speak this morning on this subject, strong where it counts. Strong where it counts. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Our Father, we do come before you this morning. We're in a needy time as your people. We're in a needy time as Americans. We're in a needy time in this world. And Lord, where those that believe in a false God and hate the real God and His Son Jesus and Your book, the Bible, are taking to murder and mayhem and chaos and confusion to propagate their illegal and illicit and false faith, we certainly need help from heaven, the true God. Part of this is the result of our own making. And Lord, we need forgiveness. And we just pray that You'll help us. And help us to be strong where it counts in these days. Help me this morning to be a blessing to Your people. Speak to our hearts. Fill us with the Spirit that both speaker and listener will be helped today. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name and amen. There's something special about somebody saying to you, "I am praying for you." There's something special about that. That little statement can really pick up somebody when you need it, when you need encouragement and help. It's even better when someone goes on to be very specific concerning that for which they are praying. In other words, "I'm praying for you that," and it's not a generic blessing, but it's something specific. Now, to be honest with you, I'm happy for a generic prayer. "God bless Brother Angel. God bless Pastor Angel. God bless..." I'm happy with my mom and dad praying, "God bless Terry." Generic praying, if you will. Okay? And I think we all do some of that, don't we? All of us do some form of generic praying. Just bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so. But, you know, it's great. It's even, when people are more specific, they're targeted. It's greater. It's just more encouraging. It was on the way. Actually, we were already in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, with the tour group. And my phone sounded indicating that I had received a text. And I picked it up and I pushed the button, and it was from a brother here in the church. And this is what the text said. And I quote to you. I wrote it down so I could read it to you. And I've still got it on my phone. "Good morning, preacher. Have a great day. I am praying for you and your family. May God bless you and use you to be a blessing and give you a great week. May we daily seek after and follow the Lord's leadership and praise Him for all He has done and is doing in our lives." That was the end of his text. And I thought, amen. That's more than just a generic "God bless you." That's a specific prayer for specific things. It was a great encouragement to my heart. It was targeted, specific praying, asking for certain blessings from God. Specific blessings from God's hand. Now, that's what is recorded in our text here in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them in verse number 14, look at it, "For this cause I bow my knees." I didn't know the choir was going to sing "Bow the Knee" this morning. But there it is, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul said, "I am praying for you. I bow my knees in prayer to God for you." Now, the first part of the chapter, Paul reminds these Ephesian Christians, that he was appointed by God to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, that was them, okay? That was the Ephesian Christians, by and large, were Gentiles. There were some Jews there, but by and large were Gentiles. And so he was the apostle to them, and as such, he carried them on and in his heart. And because he carried them on and in his heart, he prayed for them. And it wasn't just generic praying. It wasn't just "God bless the Ephesian Christians." Now, well, that's fine. If that's all you got time to do, that's wonderful. But it was targeted praying. It was purposeful praying. It was specific praying. It was something that was in his sights. Now, as I look at the passage, there are four targeted requests. And as I said, I'm going to take the next four services and deal with each one of them. All of these requests are initiated with the word "that." You'll find the word "that" mentioned four times in verses 16 and 17 through about verse number 19 there. You'll find it four times. And that's an indication that Paul is a new request, a specific targeted request. So I want to talk about this first one in verse number 16. Paul said in verse 14, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ," okay? Verse 16, "that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." So the first specific request Paul had for these Ephesian Christians was that they might experience Spirit-powered inner strength. Spirit-powered inner strength. And folks, I can say this morning, that is being strong where it counts. Now, this is something every child of God needs, something every child of God should desire, this Spirit-powered inner strength, being strong where it counts. Now, today's world majors on the outside. Our culture puts all the emphasis on the body. It's almost to the point where the body is deified. It's almost made a god out of the body to exalt it to the rank of a deity. Boy, the body. And please, do not interpret this as meaning that I believe we should just let our bodies go. You only have one body. So you're only going to live and serve God, be with your relatives, your spouse and children, as long as that body has health and life and breath. So I'm not advocating let your body go. In fact, as 59 and a half years old, I've told younger men this recently, I wish I had paid more attention in my 30s to the well-being of my body. I really do. Because I want to tell you something, when you get to this point in the game, it's hard to start making amends. It's just difficult to make amends. So I'm not saying neglect the body, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the emphasis in our day is on having a strong body. Be ripped. Bulk. You know, buff. And I think that men ought to be able to do push-ups and men ought to be able to do sit-ups. But I don't think I am exaggerating to say that our culture, and especially amongst the young men of the day, they get all excited about working out and developing muscle and getting ripped abs and being buff. But I'm not sure that's being strong where it counts. A lot of men like that can't say no to a bottle of alcohol. A lot of men like that can't say no to a skirt that's flirting. I don't care how much you can bench press. How ripped your abs are, really, I'm not interested in seeing them. If you can't say no when it counts, and if you can't say yes when it counts, you're not strong where it counts. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul's request was that these Christians, his prayer request, was that these Christians would develop inner strength, be strong where it counts. And that's what he's emphasizing here. You know, today the emphasis is on developing bodily strength to the neglect and exclusion of our spirit, or our inner strength. And by the way, friend, he's writing to the Christians who are in Ephesus. This is the city. Ephesus is the city where they had that huge Roman Colosseum that held 50,000 spectators, and they would have contests between strong men and wild beasts. Fights between men and animals. Now, we have cage fighting today, where two men get in the cage and act like animals with each other. But in this day, they literally put men, human beings, in the arena, and they would fight wild beasts. So there was a lot of emphasis in Ephesus. There was a lot of talk and hubbub about physical strength in the city of Ephesus because they had these games where the men would fight the animals. And so there was a lot of pressure on them to be strong, be physically strong. And I'm not against being physically strong, but you can't forget or neglect or exclude to be strong where it counts. To be strong in the inner man. Now, here's something extremely important about this request, this prayer request that Paul made when he was talking to the Lord. The source of the inner man's strength was to be the Spirit of God. So Paul wasn't just praying for inner strength. Paul wasn't just praying for resolve. He wasn't just praying for a diligence. He was asking for spiritual strength, spirit-powered inner strength, spiritual strength, strength that had its source in the Spirit of God. Now, people, it's very possible for lost folks to have inner strength, to have resolve, to have determination, to have willpower, to have boldness, to have firmness. lost people without God and His Spirit can have inner resolve. Ryan, sit down. Thank you. Please. It's very distracting to be up walking around during church. I read a story a couple weeks ago about a man named Aaron Ralston. Aaron Ralston is an avid outdoorsman. Maybe some of you might remember this. In Utah in 2003, he was descending what's called a slot canyon when a boulder he was climbing, trying to climb either up or down on, became dislodged and crushed and trapped his right hand against the canyon wall. He had not told anybody where he was going. He didn't have a cell phone. Didn't work anyway in there. And so here he was trapped behind a boulder, his hand and his arm trapped behind a wrap, crushed against a boulder, and he couldn't get free. He was there 5 days. He became so weak, his bones and everything became. He finally broke both of the bones in his arm by using the force of the boulder, the inert there, and then took his knife and amputated his own arm to get out of that canyon. Now, I don't care what you say, that's a lot of inner resolve. That's a lot of determination. That is a lot of inner strength. But in his testimony about what happened, there is no mention of Christ. There's no mention of God. In fact, you can Google stories of inner strength, and you know what's going to come up on the Google search? You're going to find all kinds of stories with references to karma and mind over matter and channeling your inner spirit. All of it is humanist in nature. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is not talking about mind over matter. Paul is not talking about human resolve. Paul is not talking about physical strength at all. Paul is talking about a strength that has its source in the Spirit of God, meaning it's spiritual inner strength, not carnal. It's not rooted in muscles. It's rooted in the Holy Spirit. It is, I don't have time to go into all the results of this morning, but it would be a Spirit-powered inner strength to overcome temptation, Spirit-powered inner strength to witness for the Lord, Spirit-powered inner strength to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Spirit-powered inner strength to allow the Spirit of God to bear His fruit in our lives, having spiritual appetites, not retaliating when somebody hurts us. That requires spiritual inner strength. You know what's a common reaction for a wounded animal is? Lash out at somebody. Brother Mike, you remember the time you were called to the house in my absence when Joyce ran over the dog. Ran over a lady. Crushed it in the door, ran over the dog. Or said it was an accident. She didn't do it on purpose, folks. And we're looking like, oh, my goodness, it was an accident. Things happen in life, okay? And she called Brother Mike. I was out of town. He came out. It was back in the time when you were here. Brother Mike came out there and he was going to try to move the dog. And I think the dog bit you or lashed out at you and bit Brother Mike. And that was the dog's reaction, even though Brother Mike was trying to help the dog because the dog was hurt. And when somebody hurts us, the normal reaction is to lash out, to retaliate. Sometimes the problem is we're retaliating against the person that didn't hurt us. And I don't care how many pounds you can bench press. Bench pressing doesn't give you the kind of strength that I'm talking about right now. That's inner strength, spiritual strength, not to treat people as they treat us, but to treat people as we want them to treat us. Now you can take all kind of dumbbells, and I enjoy working out with the dumbbells at the house. And I'm not talking about the grandchildren or anything like that, okay? I'm talking about I enjoy working out with the dumbbells at the house and doing a few exercises with the dumbbells. And but I'm going to tell you something. They don't make a dumbbell that can give you the kind of strength that Paul is asking for these people right here. He's asking for something different, folks. This is not strength rooted in human nature. This is not strength rooted in human resolve. This is not strength rooted in human discipline. I'm not against human resolve. I'm not against human discipline. That old boy, he lives today. He lives today. And he travels around and tells his story, and it's a story of human resolve. It's a story of human determination. I'm not against that, but what Paul is praying for is something more for the child of God. It's being strong where it counts. On the inside, when it comes to spiritual matters, and I could go on and on about the results of it, but I want you to notice what Paul said about this inner strength, okay? Look at it here. It's all right here in verse number 16. First of all, I want you to see that inner strength is given by God's grace. Given by God's grace. Look at verse 16. That He would grant you. You say, Brother Terry, I don't see the word grace in the verse. Do you see the word grant? That's a gift. That's not earned. A grant is something that is given. He said that He would grant you. Who is the He in this verse? Well, Paul said in verse 14 that he was talking to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking to God the Father. So Paul is praying to God the Father, and he tells the people, he says, I am praying to God the Father, and I am asking Him to give you, to bestow upon you, to confer upon you Spirit-powered inner strength. Spirit-powered inner strength is the gift of God's grace. It's not something that we earn. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we merit. But praise God, it's something we can have because it's the result of God's grace. It's given by God's grace. Given by God's grace. Anything that's given to us that we don't deserve, folks, when a person goes to college somewhere or does something, he gets a grant. That's different than a student loan. A grant does not have to be paid back. But, to some degree, a grant is earned. Usually there needs to be community involvement and some type of positive energy in the community. And we're going to give a grant to this young man to go down here to KCC and pay some of his school bill. Usually there's a deserving part of it on the part of the recipient. But when it comes to God's grace, you and I never, ever merit grace. If we merited it, it wouldn't be grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It is undeserved favor. So this grace, this inner strength, is the gift of God. It is the gift of God's grace. This is like salvation. Salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a gift that nobody deserves. Salvation is a gift that nobody can merit. Salvation is a gift that nobody can earn. Salvation is a free gift. So is inner strength, folks. It's given by God. Being given something by God that we don't deserve is the result of His grace. So inner strength is given by God's grace. But I want you to see number two in the same verse. Not only is it given by God's grace, inner strength, I love this, is underwritten by God's riches. Now look at verse 16. That He would grant you, there's God's grace, oh I love this now, according to the riches of His glory. So this is underwritten by God's riches. This strength, it's the result of the gift of God's grace, and it's underwritten by God's riches. What does that mean? That means, in other words, friend, there is no limit to this strength. You and I can have as much of this in its inner strength as God has in store for us. It's underwritten by Him, and there's no end to His strength. None whatsoever. Look, human power and human might and human strength can be great. But there's an end to it. There's an end to it. Now, I haven't read all the articles. I haven't read all the news on the situation over in France. That was absolutely horrible. But just a blurb in a quick read indicated that somehow that man got through the police barricade. Talked his way through, I guess, with that truck. Again, I don't know. Some of the people in France were a little bit disturbed that he got through the barricade. You see, the strength was in place. The strength was there. But folks, listen to me. Human strength always has a limit. Human strength always has a boundary. Human strength always has a parameter. But what God is saying here is, what kind of inner strength do you need? How badly do you need it? How much do you need it? Don't worry, folks. Number one, it's the gift of my grace. Number two, it's underwritten by my riches. I can make him as strong inner strength as he needs to be. I can make them as strong as they need to be, and them as strong as they need to be, and them as strong as, and you and me. And he can make all of us as strong where it counts as we need it to be, because it's underwritten by his riches. Where's the limit to that? There is no limit to that. You know, there's a lot of, I guess, you know, you get ready to do policies and so forth. You know, there's a lot of talk about underwriting, who is underwriting the policy, who is standing behind the deposits, who is, oh, Pastor, my money is safe. It's in the bank, and the bank is, and FDIC has secured my deposit. Yeah, how'd that work out in 1929? How'd that work out in 2000? Well, I got a bunch of money with Lehman Brothers. How'd that work out? Folks, man can talk about underwriting. We'll stand good. We're behind this. We'll make this sure. Man can say all the right things. But man is limited in how much he can give a promise about something. But our God is not limited. When he makes a promise about inner strength, he backs it up with he underwrites it with his riches. They have no limit. So we have all the inner strength that we possibly could need, because it's underwritten by his riches. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking this is going in our favor, because it is the gift of God's grace, which means I don't deserve it. And it's underwritten by God's riches, which means there's no end to it. Then you get to number three, what he's talking about here in verse number 16. It's the given by God's grace, underwritten by God's riches. And number three, it's administered by God's Spirit. It's administered by God's Spirit. Look at verse number 16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Again, the strength is not found in any human resource. The fountain of this strength is the Holy Spirit. It is administered through Him. And this is so important for us to remember. Hey, folks, our salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one through whom salvation was administered to us. Salvation is based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died by the shedding of His blood. He was bodily buried. He bodily rose again to pay for our redemption, to purchase our salvation. That's what Jesus did. Okay, that's great, but you know what has to happen? God's Spirit is the one that administers that to us. God's Spirit is the one that shows us our sin, puts us under conviction, and brings us to the place of repentance, and points us to Jesus. And when we embrace Jesus Christ, God's Spirit births us into the family of God. Salvation is administered. It was purchased by Christ. Paid for by Jesus. But how is it administered to us? His Spirit. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of His Father. Jesus didn't come to Mike Bragg in bodily form. He didn't leave heaven's throne and come to Mike Bragg and deal with you about salvation. Who did? The Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't leave the throne in October of 1975 and come down and deal with me about salvation. He's sitting at the right hand of His Father. But I'm going to tell you who was in that country church was the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost administered salvation to me, brought conviction to my heart, brought me to the place of repentance, brought me to see that salvation is beyond me. I can't earn it. I can't pay for it. And then pointed me to Jesus Christ and said, there's your payment. And when I trusted Christ, the Spirit of God birthed me into God's family. So it was all administered by the Holy Spirit. But folks, that's not the end. That's only the beginning. Because that same Spirit doesn't leave us after we're saved. He takes up dwelling within us, and He administers strength to us for the purpose of sanctification, the purpose of becoming strong in the inner man. It's the Spirit of God that administers the grace of God, that is underwritten by the riches of God. It is the Spirit of God that administers that to us and makes us strong where it counts. Here's the thing. We're trying to become spiritual and human in human energy. We're trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I got to say no, I got to say no. I can't look at that. I can't do this. I want to serve God. I can't. That's not where strength comes from. Spiritual strength doesn't come from human energy. Spiritual strength comes from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual strength is the administrator of this grace that is underwritten by God's riches. He is the one who administers it to us. So when I need inner strength to be strong where it counts, who do I need to talk to? The Spirit of God. So you can't pray to the Holy Spirit. Where did you read that? John Rice didn't finish one of his prayers in Jesus' name. He finished it somehow else. And boy, a person came to him after, Dr. Rice, you prayed improperly. He said, oh, how's that? And she said, well, you're supposed to pray to the Father through the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And you got it all messed up. He said, lady, when you're in the family, you can talk to all of them. And he's right. When do you need inner strength? When somebody hurts you and you want to retaliate, you need inner strength. Who do you go to? Spirit of God, help me. Spirit of God, help me right now. Hey, He's there. He's right there. Here's that billboard. I don't want to look at it. Spirit of God, help me. Help me. Strong where it counts. He's the administrator. It's the gift of God. And there's nothing you and I can do to earn it. It's God's grace. It's underwritten by His riches. But folks, look. How did you get saved? You what? You asked for it. Right? Father, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. The Bible says that wages of sin is death. It's in hell. But I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for me. Please save me. You ask for it. And the Bible says when you ask for salvation, God gives it. Now, in the same way, friend, when I need to be strong where it counts, when there's that marital conflict in the air and a word or two can amplify it to a brawl, somebody has to have inner strength to zip the lip. Spirit of God, help me. When the temptation is on to be dishonest about an expense report or about something else, inner strength is needed. Where does it come from? Well, I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. No, it doesn't come through that, folks. What the kind of strength that we're talking about here is its source is in the Spirit. That kind of strength is administered by God's grace. Given by God's grace, underwritten by His riches, administered by the Holy Spirit. That's how we get it. We get that Spirit-empowered inner strength by asking the Holy Spirit for it. Asking Him for it. Being strong where it counts. I don't know about you, but I grow tired of being weak and carnal. You grow tired of that? I grow tired of all this stuff in our world today. But and I don't mean to sound callous. I think you know how I feel deeply about that. By the way, let me encourage you. When God puts a police officer in your path, treat them well. We left Texas about 4:20 Thursday afternoon. That's right in the middle of rush hour. Brother Don knows what the Metroplex traffic is like. And I had two ways to go, either east all the way through Dallas or north out of Fort Worth. And Brother Bob Smith said, go north. Rare that you hear somebody from the south say, go north. But he said, go north. But anyway. So we took off to beat the traffic. We got into some traffic, but we escaped the worst of it. And we got to McKinney, Texas. And I said, are you hungry? She said, yes. I said, I'm starved. She's usually hungry. I'm always starved. So I said, we haven't eaten since breakfast. And it's about 5:15, 5:30. And I said, I think we're far enough out. So we got to McKinney, Texas. And I said, I don't want fast food, but I want something fast. She doesn't like buffets. And I'm to the place where I don't care for them much anymore. But we picked a Chinese buffet. And we walked in. And here's one police officer sitting over here and four police officers sitting over here. It was the day of the funeral. Thursday. They had funerals every day, just about. And so I was sitting there, and the Spirit of God said, go pick up their tickets. And so I got up out of my seat, and I walked over to that one gentleman, and I reached down, I grabbed his ticket, and I said, I would be privileged to pay for your meal tonight. I walked over to the other table and I picked up their ticket and said, I would be privileged to pay for you. I could not believe how emotional I got. I got choked up speaking to those men. If you see a police officer in a restaurant in this area, pay for his meal. Tell him where you go to church. You know how I feel about that. I'm tired. I'm tired to get news this morning. That's the kind of news I don't even like to hear. Coming into a church service. I'm weary of this and angry. But I am more weary, friend, of my own weakness where I should be strong and my own carnality where I should be spiritual. It's easy for us to get all worked up about them shooting the policeman, and we ought to be. But at some point in time, it probably do you and me good to get worked up about why are we not as strong as we should be? Why do I still use profanity? Why do I do that? Why do I still speak to my husband or my wife the way I do? What's the matter with me? Well, when's the last time we paused in the moment of time and said, Spirit of God, make me strong. I need strength now. Now. I need to be strong where it counts. Jealousy. Criticism. Gossip. No. I want to be strong where it counts. I can pump the dumbbells and the barbells and get ripped and buff. But if I don't have any strength where it counts, I'm not going to be what I ought to be for God. Amen. And that was Paul's specific request. He prayed, Ephesian Christian, I want you to experience Spirit-empowered inner strength. I want you to be strong where it counts. That's on the inside. A strong inner man. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, make us strong where it counts, please. Please speak to our hearts and help us to hunger for this and desire it and long for it. And Lord, think about it. Put it on our minds. May a truth like this lodge in our hearts. May we do more than just let it go in one ear and out the other. May this be more than just another Sunday morning message. But Lord, something that lodges in us and helps us this week, changes us. For the better this week, please, strong where it counts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I feel that same frustration, that same aggravation. I need to be stronger where it counts. And the Spirit of God spoke to me about it. Would you slip your hand in the air, please, wherever you're sitting this morning? Just lift it in an acknowledgement. I see your hand. God bless you. I join you. I say amen to that. Now, let me ask this question. If there's somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't want to be separated from God forever in hell, but I don't know that I've ever been saved like you were talking about. I don't know that. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up in the air? Let me pray for you this morning. I won't pray for you by name or come to you. I just want to acknowledge your hand. Anybody like that here today? All right, heads about. If you've been saved and not baptized, today's the time, the place to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I want Adam and Jessica to come and let you shake hands with them this morning. They joined the church last Sunday, and if you are here to join this morning, then you come. But the matter this morning, the pressing matter in our hearts is salvation. And then beyond that, this strong in the inner man. If God spoke to your heart, you're tired of being weak in a certain area. If you're tired of being carnal in some area of your life, you want the victory. If you can have it. It's the result. It's the gift of God's grace. It is underwritten by His riches, but it's administered by His Spirit. It's not your psyche. It's His Spirit. Father, bless, I pray, the invitation this morning for your people. And may we be better because we were in church this morning and heard this truth. In Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. Would you take a moment and respond today? While you can, you come. Come quickly. I'm tired of being carnal in this area. I'm tired of being weak. I have a problem with my tongue. I have a problem with my gossip. I have a problem with my thoughts. I have a problem with my vocabulary. God, make me strong where it counts. I lash out at people that hurt me. I don't treat people like I want them to treat me. I treat them like they treat me. What is it that God needs to tend to today? Just the piano now, just the piano. There has to be some way to implement what God has said to our hearts this morning. If it's an alarm on your phone or your watch or whatever it is, you need to remind yourself. Ask for Spirit's help. Ask for the Holy Ghost help. Ask for the Holy Spirit help. Seek Holy Spirit. Somehow, put it on the dashboard of your car. Put it on the desk at the work. Put it in front of the window there as you wash dishes on the window. Because He's the administrator. He is the administrator. And He can make us strong where we need to be. Father, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of being in church this morning. Keep us safe today. I don't know what the storms are doing, but I pray that You'll help everybody coming and going to be safe. And God, more than anything, help us to be strong where it counts. In Jesus' name, amen.